Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Good evening and welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. I'm Dan Ligani. I'm not Scott Greenberg. I'm with Silver Solutions and I'm sitting in for Scott tonight, who's off this week celebrating his 50th wedding anniversary, which is certainly the kind of good news that 2020 could be using more of. One phrase that we've definitely heard a lot of in 2020 is sheltering in place, especially as a preventative measure for those adults 65 and older that are trying to avoid being exposed to the coronavirus. Tonight, we address one of the ironies of that, and that's sheltering in place, while it may keep you safe from the virus, in many cases, it's putting our oldest population and our most at-risk population in front of something that will affect one in four of them in the year ahead, and that's falling. In fact, one out of four adults over the age of 65 fall every year, and it's something that happens at home most frequently and something that's definitely made worse by the loss of mobility. So tonight, we'll take on that big and important topic of senior health and safety at home for the pandemic and beyond. And I'm so excited because we've got three terrific guests, including two physicians from the brand new Hospital for Special Surgery here in West Palm Beach, and a counselor and therapist from Florida Atlantic University who will join us for the second half of the show, who collectively, the three will provide expert advice and guidance on everything from what leads to falls and why does mobility decline as we get older, to how those issues can be prevented, and when and how you should bring a doctor in to help. We'll also, at the second half of the show, touch on the best strategies for staying happy and positive despite being home alone for long stretches of time, something that is definitely a side effect of sheltering in place. For a little more context, though, before we go in my company at Silver Solutions, we deal with the physical environments in homes on a regular basis so that older adults can live independently and navigate around their houses safely, even as their mobility starts to decline. But to us, the thing that is most fascinating is the common causes of many falls are things that you can definitely prevent and be able to do on your own. They're things that, when you're younger, don't seem to add up to a whole lot, but as you grow older, are very real. And it's as little as things like clutter. You know, we all love our clothing, our magazines, and our books. And when they build up over time and our eyesight starts to change, all of a sudden they become a real trip and fall hazard. So does the throw rug or the torn carpet or the bath mat that doesn't have an anti-slip backing. All of those things collectively are part of a list that I would encourage you to download if you haven't done it already. We've got a 14-point home safety checklist so that you can deal with the physical environment in your home or mom or dad's home, and you can get it at silversolutions.com. Just go there and click on the news tab, and you'll see the checklist that you can actually download yourself. So as we move now into speaking with our first guests, We know that growing older, we lose a step or two, and some of us, it becomes really hard even doing basic activities, just like moving around the house on a regular basis. Our first two guests, Dr. Kathleen Davenport and Dr. James Carr from the Hospital for Special Surgery here in South Florida in West Palm, are here to make us smarter and keep us more mobile and pain-free even as we get older. Let me give you a little bit of background. Dr. Kathleen Davenport is a physiatrist. It actually was a new phrase for me. We're going to ask her about that and what the specialty is. I'll give you a little context right now, but she is a fellowship-trained sports performing arts and dance medicine physician with the primary focus of optimizing patient wellness. She got her doctorates in medicine right up the road and across the state from here at the University of South Florida in Tampa, then went across the country to the University of Washington in Seattle for her residency before ending up in New York at the Hospital for Special Surgery as a sports and spine fellowship doctor. So she is going to be bringing us some insights and one little bit of local knowledge on her. She's also the company physician for the Miami City Ballet. Her co-partner here is Dr. James Beamer Carr, who is an assistant attending orthopedic surgeon in the Sports Medicine Institute at HSS, the Hospital for Special Surgery. He's also an assistant professor at Weill Cornell Medical. He completed his medical school studies at Wake Forest and did his residency at the University of Virginia. And then he, too, was at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York, where a little bit of local knowledge for those of us on the Treasure Coast, he was a member of the medical staff for the New York Mets. So maybe we'll be able to get some insights from Dr. Carr today on how the Mets will do in their shortened 60-game season. His area of specialty, by the way, is on shoulders, elbows, and knee problems, and he specializes in a range of minimally invasive techniques. So Drs. Carr and Davenport, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and it's really great. I'm interested in covering off a bunch of the different issues that I raised at the outset. But let me start with a really simple one, Dr. Davenport, and that's physiatry. Clearly, I was not informed. It wasn't an area of medical practice that I was familiar with. Is it a new term for something that's existed, or is it really just a brand new area of focus?
So it's been around for some time, but we tend to be a smaller field, and honestly, we don't have the best marketing. We kind of are pretty chill folks in general and do our own thing and don't advertise us, but we consider ourselves the doctors of function. You know, we really focus on how to optimize people's function, keep people active, keep people doing the things that they love to do. And it's very common to find a physiatrist with a group such as Hospital for Special Surgery because so many times orthopedic conditions do not require surgery, or there are a lot of interventions that we can do pre-surgery or help the rehabilitation process post-surgery. So we're the non-surgical component to our surgical team, and we work very closely with our surgical colleagues to make sure our patients have the best outcomes, whether that includes surgery or not.
Well, you know, it's so interesting, and again, maybe it goes back to your comment on marketing. I think about the Hospital for Special Surgery, and it's fascinating even to get started with the fact that there is a non-surgical component to the medical care that you can get. But let's hear for a second from Dr. Carr. When you think about the things that all of us deal with when we get older, what are, from your perspective and the kind of injuries that you work with and help patients with, what are the things that are most directly attributable to why we lose mobility as we get older?
Thanks again for having us, Dan. And that's a great question. You know, I think a lot of the injuries that I see in my aging patients really are directly related to just the aging process. As we age, our bones tend to become more brittle. Our tendons tend to lose blood flow, so they do a poor job at healing when we exercise and put them through various activities. And so for my patients who like to stay active, which is great, they may find that their body just isn't as up for the challenge, so to speak, of healing and recovery. And so they may be a little more prone to overuse injuries. Certainly extended periods of immobility or lack of physical movement can exacerbate these periods. And then if they try to return to their previous level of activity, they may find that their body just can't quite keep up with the recovery process. And that tends to be manifested as pain or other kind of injuries that they may sustain.
You know, what's interesting is in both of your respective fields, you both work a lot with athletes. Are there similarities, and it may seem like a silly question from the outset, but are there similarities, and do you learn things from the kinds of injuries that you see with an athlete that are relevant to what you'd find in an older adult?
Absolutely. I think a lot of our athletes now are doing high-level sports throughout their lifespan and throughout their life continuum. And so we see people who are very active all throughout their lives. And so even though they might not be a professional athlete, they're still very active. And sometimes after retirement, people become more active than perhaps they were if they had a busy job during some of their other years or decades of their lives. And so sometimes the lessons that we learn from our athletes, and let's take our student athletes who transition to a different level of professional athlete, sometimes those lessons are equally applicable to, let's say, someone who's transitioned from their retirement level of activity to their post-retirement oftentimes increased exercises and how we can help them with those transitional times and maintaining the level of activity that they want to be doing.
So, and I'll direct this to Dr. Carr, when you think about what tonight's show is about, which is the kinds of things that we can help guide older adults with, what are the most common outcomes that you see of someone who's fallen? What are the things that happen? We'll start with where it's bad, and then we'll come back, Dr. Davenport, to you with some ideas on how we can prevent some of those. But Dr. Carr, you know, it's so common for us to talk about my mom fell and she broke her hip, or dad tripped down the stairs. What are the kinds of injuries that are coming from what are the seemingly just ongoing regularity of falls among the senior population?
Sure. So I think you're right. The classic story is, you know, hearing about an elderly individual falling and breaking their hip, and certainly that does happen. But many other bones can be broken as well, whether it's in the shoulder, the elbow, the wrist, the ankle, the knee. You know, there's certainly a variety of bones that can break. And also we see a lot of tendon injuries. So I see a lot of individuals who fall and they may injure their rotator cuff in their shoulder and find that they have more shoulder dysfunction after they fall. Certainly they can injure a tendon in their knee, like their quadriceps tendon, which can also result in some significant knee dysfunction. And then there's other tears too, like the Achilles tendon or other muscle injuries that they can sustain that may or may not require surgical intervention, but can still be very painful and debilitating to their mobility or their ability to perform activities. So I kind of group it into those categories: bones, tendons, and then muscles and other tissues.
One quick follow-on to that. I've heard a scenario of someone saying, well, actually, they didn't fall and break their hip broke and they fell. So on injuries with older adults, are the outcomes of the fall what we're hearing about, or is it the reason that they fell?
That's a great question. It kind of becomes a chicken and the egg scenario, so to speak. You know, I think there are probably a subset of patients that their bone is so fragile that it may break and then lead to the fall, but my personal bias and opinion is that the vast majority of patients have a mechanical fall from tripping on something or misstepping off a stair or off a sidewalk or somewhere in their house, and then the impact of the collision is usually what leads to the fall. But I do think in some of the very elderly individuals, it may be plausible that the bone could break first, but I do believe it's almost usually the case that the fall is the culprit.
Fascinating. Dr. Davenport, let's go to the positive side of this for a second and talk about prevention. What are the things that we can do preemptively, almost in a prehab way, to ensure that we're less likely as we grow older to lose our mobility, to lose our balance, or to suffer from one of the falls that we've been talking about?
One of the most important things that we can do in terms of prehab is to maintain activity. And we do get in this vicious cycle a little bit. So let's take a scenario of someone who has had a fall or a near fall, but not a catastrophic injury. And so what happens in that case is that then we have a fear of falling, because we talk about these very catastrophic injuries that are very scary. And so what can happen is people then become afraid. They become afraid of walking or going places because, of course, we want to avoid falls. But then what happens is they're not walking normally. They're not doing their normal activities. They're not balancing. They're not using their muscles. And so instead of decreasing their risk of falls, that type of fear of falling actually increases their risk of falling, because they're not habituating their body to doing the things the body likes to do, which is to be active. So one of the most important things is to maintain activity, is to be able to use your body with walking, with balancing, with exercises. And sometimes we need to bring in additional members of our team, like physical therapists, to help guide someone to do that safely, particularly if there might be a fear component there. And sometimes we need to bring in something to help us, like an assistive device, like a cane or a walker. And many people feel that adding an assistive device to their lives can be a little bit of giving up independence, but I look at it as I would much rather someone walk, at least in the short term, while you're gaining confidence with a walker, rather than not walk at all, because their body isn't ready to fully walk by itself. Perhaps it doesn't have the strength and balance. So I always look at an assistive device like a cane or a walker or a walking stick as something that's not necessarily there forever, but as one tool in the toolbox to keep people doing what they want to do and to keep their bodies in motion.
Really, really interesting. Are there things that, so it sounds like in your role with the Hospital for Special Surgery, that you almost play an overall advisory role? Is that an accurate description in terms of the additional things that someone needs to bring into their life?
Yeah, so what I look at myself many times is kind of the quarterback of the team, you know, and so on that team, sometimes we need to add a walker, and on the team, sometimes we need to add a physical therapist, and sometimes we need to add the surgeon, and if someone needs surgery, then that quarterback role flips to the surgeon during the pre-op, operative, post-operative phases, and then sometimes that quarterback role comes back to me, where I can help, you know, coordinate some things. And so when we look at overall care, a lot of times someone's primary care doctor is their quarterback for their general health, but we might not think about a quarterback for your musculoskeletal health of someone who's looking at the musculoskeletal systems, your muscles, your bones, your tendons, your nerves. And so that's something that I can fill that role and help with, you know, with the team of the surgeons and the physical therapists as well.
Really, really interesting perspective. If you're just joining us, this is Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. And I'm not Scott Greenberg, who's taking a well-deserved week off. I'm Dan Ligani with Silver Solutions. We've got on the line with us Dr. James Carr and Dr. Kathleen Davenport from the Hospital for Special Surgery. When we come back in just a second, we're going to talk about the time in life where you may need surgery and how you know that it's right for you and how you choose the right surgeon and or physician. We'll be right back.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Ligani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Well, welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older. I'm not Scott. I'm Dan Ligani sitting in for Scott this evening, and we're in the middle of a fascinating conversation on senior health and safety at home for the pandemic and beyond. With us still, and we have so much more great ground to cover, from the Hospital for Special Surgery in West Palm Beach, are Dr. Kathleen Davenport and Dr. James Carr. Dr. Carr, one of the things we were just about to get into before we took a break was, how do you know when preventive maintenance has done what it can do for a particular person and that it's time for surgical intervention? So for the uninitiated older adult or someone like me that's got a mom that's older, how do you know when it's time for surgery?
That's a great question, and it's really one of the most frequently asked questions I get from my patients throughout the day. And I think a lot of it really just boils down to having a very skilled healthcare provider who specializes in that area of medicine. So for me, you know, orthopedic surgery, dealing with joints, especially shoulders, elbows, and knees, who really understand the pathologies and the diseases, the injuries, you know, that patients get in this area, and can work those diagnoses up and get the you know, correct history and physical exam and X-rays and in some cases MRIs or other images to provide a diagnosis, and then based on that diagnosis to develop a treatment plan. And so there are some injuries that do you know, benefit greatly from surgery, and it's really important to kind of talk through that with your physician. A lot of what I do is what I call elective surgery, meaning it's really up to the patient to make that decision of when they think their injury or their problem is so severe that it's affecting their quality of life, that they feel ready to go forward with surgery. And so a lot of it is really the patient's decision, too, as to when they feel like their quality of life has gotten to the point where they believe that, you know, surgery is a good option for them.
You know, especially in, again, one of the areas that you have that you focus with working with athletes, you hear amazing stories about surgeries that are being performed that extend someone's career, Tommy John surgery. And you know, it creates an entirely new chapter for an athlete. At what age is the outer limit of some of the surgical procedures that you do? I mean, do you get to a point where, you know, having a rotator cuff repaired or a hip replacement or, you know, doing something with a wrist, do you reach the point where with an older adult it doesn't have the same effect, or does it benefit everybody of every age?
I think it depends on the surgery. And so there's certainly a lot of surgeries where there's kind of a you know, age at which point your chance of healing becomes much lower, and therefore your chance of obtaining benefit from the surgery goes down as well. So you mentioned the shoulder and the rotator cuff. So there's good literature and research showing that once you're past the age of 64, 65, the tendon becomes less likely to heal, although with newer technology and newer advances, we do have some research coming out showing that age limit can be pushed to about 70 or 72. A lot of times once you get beyond that kind of age limit, at least for shoulder issues, you may be looking at a different surgery, such as a replacement or something down those lines, which can provide great relief of their pain and restore function as well, and hopefully last the rest of their life by that point as well. So sometimes it's just a matter of different surgeries being effective as opposed to universally saying that no surgery could be helpful. Sometimes it just changes directions for which surgery we may recommend.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I want to get into in a minute the actual role of the Hospital for Special Surgery originally in New York, the story of the opening here in South Florida, and the range of things that you do. But Dr. Davenport, maybe you can help me with the question that I know that is not only something that I've had conversations with my own family members about, but I'm sure that you hear on a regular basis, which is, how should people go about selecting a doctor? If it was a family member that you were talking to, what's the kind of advice and guidance that you would give to make certain that you're choosing the doctor that's not only qualified, but that's the right physician or surgeon for you?
So there are many things that go into choosing the right doctor for you, and a lot of it is comfort. You know, I have referred my patients to many doctors in the community, not just in my same office, but other doctors as well. I rarely have 100% of my patients love 100% of my referrals because we are people, you know, and so part of it is a fit. So that the surgeon might have very good hands, but maybe that day the personalities don't fit with each other. So you have to have a comfort level as well as good qualities. So that's number one, is just seeing when you walk in the room, you know, do you feel like you fit with how this person practices medicine? They can be a very good doctor, but just their style of medicine may not be a good fit. You know, my mantra is, I know how to treat bodies, but you know how you like to treat your body. And so there are many doctors who may feel, for example, very comfortable with alternative medicine like acupuncture, and other doctors who that is not something that they include in their treatment policy. You know, where do you fall on those spectrums? So that's number one, is aligning your functional goals with your treatment. And the second thing is a reputation of a clinic. You know, so Hospital for Special Surgery is the oldest orthopedic institute in the United States. So it has this long reputation, and reputation matters. There's a reason it's been number one for 10 years, is that it has excellent providers there on every single level, not just the surgeons, not just the non-surgical providers, but from physical therapists, from people who are at the front desk. You know, it's people who really care about optimizing function. So a reputation of an organization with many years can help you have that confidence and feel more comfortable with a decision and selection.
Really, it was a great treat for me. I had the opportunity recently to see the new space. And when we come back in a second, I want to talk more about the investment that was just made there, the kind of services that are being provided. And we'll do it through the lens specifically of some of the things that are going to be of greatest value to the older population in Palm Beach County and on the Treasure Coast. This is Dan Ligani. This is Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. And tonight we are taking on the idea of senior health and safety at home for the pandemic and beyond. When we come back in a second, we've got more questions for Dr. Davenport and Dr. Carr of the Hospital for Special Surgery. And later in the show, we'll be covering the mental health side of the whole equation of sheltering in space with Dr. Megan Renee from Florida Atlantic University.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed recreation might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. Sitting in for Scott tonight, I'm Dan Ligotti with Silver Solutions. We're in the midst of a really fascinating conversation with Dr. Kathleen Davenport and Dr. James Carr from the Hospital for Special Surgery in West Palm Beach. And we've covered a lot of topics, but I want to talk a little bit about the facility. I had the opportunity last week to see this beautiful brand new building on the Intercoastal, and it's a wonderful setting. But let's talk about first, Dr. Carr, you mentioned something earlier when you said what you do is elective surgery. A lot of people in recent months have heard the term elective surgery, but associated with the coronavirus as something that wasn't available. So are you back actually doing surgical procedures at HSS in West Palm Beach?
Yes, so we are currently back doing elective surgeries here at HSS West Palm Beach. One of the benefits of our setup is that we have what's called an ambulatory surgery center, or ASC as we call it. And what this is basically it's a same-day surgery center where you come in, you have your surgery performed, and then you go home the same day. So a lot of the surgeries that we are able to do, we can safely send the patient home that same day because of the anesthesia that we use and the way we use different pain controlling modalities to help reduce the pain after surgery. And so the benefit of this is it keeps us out of a hospital setting. So we're able to keep the facility very clean. We're able to keep it COVID-free. We're able to make sure everyone is following all of the CDC guidelines. And I think a lot of patients feel a lot more comfortable coming to a setting like this where, they're not in a hospital that may have other critically sick patients. It's a very clean, healthy environment. And so it allows us to continue to function as we're still allowed to currently under the governor's rules.
Dr. Davenport, you mentioned earlier reputation. What's the connection to the Hospital for Special Surgery in Florida with the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York?
Thank you for that question. We are intimately connected, is how I can say that. We use the same computer system. We laugh, actually, that in Florida, this is how closely we're related to New York, is we down in Florida have to dial the long distance code to dial any 561 number, even though that's our area code as well. So even our phone systems are New York based. We can call locally to New York, but we call long distance to across the street. So all of our imaging is here. So on site, we have in-office x-ray as well as MRI, and all of those images that we obtain here can be seen directly up in New York. So sometimes we even have patients who end up getting their surgery in New York because we are a smaller group here in Florida right now. And so sometimes we don't offer every single surgery. For example, we don't have a spine surgeon right now. And so I see all the non-surgical spine issues, but then if someone needs surgery, they would either go to another provider locally in the Palm Beach County area or go up to New York. And then they might come back after that surgery and be managed here on site with our on-site physical therapy. So for example, I've had patients where they come to me, I do their x-ray, I do their MRI. If they need an injection ahead of time, they might go then up to New York, have a surgery done, come back down, do their rehabilitation here, and all of their care. So that can happen very closely between the two sites because we are so connected.
Is the facility new? It looks new from the outside, and it's certainly bright and shiny on the inside. Is it an entirely new building, or was it just retrofit?
No, it is brand new. So this was a lot that is built from the ground up to our four-story brand new facility. So everything in it is brand new. That is one thing that we are not connected to New York because we didn't take their hand-me-downs. Everything is new here, brand new furniture, brand new outfittings, brand new building. The physical therapy has some of the most high-tech equipment you can possibly have, and all of that is the newest and latest in terms of technology.
Terrific. Dr. Carr, I want to ask you, as we're getting into the final minutes here, to think a little bit about even what you've seen in your career. What have some of the biggest changes been to how and the type of procedures that you're doing today versus 10 years ago? And what's going to come in the next 10 years to make this process even easier for people?
That's actually a fascinating question. I love reflecting on how the field of orthopedic surgery and medicine as a whole has changed. And, I think the biggest kind of buzzwords in the past decades have been minimally invasive. And so that, you know, as a sports surgeon, I specialize in those techniques. And, it's amazing talking with some of my mentors who have been practicing for a very long time, and they'll talk about how, you know, they used to have to make big incisions and, kind of maximally invasive techniques to be able to accomplish a goal in surgery. But with the technology that we have now, we're able to do it through very small incisions, but do it very accurately and very effectively, and in some cases even better than the old version where we had to make bigger incisions. And in terms of the next decade, I think that's going to improve. I think the use of biologic agents, whether it's, you hear a lot about platelet-rich plasma or a lot of patients are wondering about stem cells, it's a lot of things. We're not quite there yet as a medical field, but I wouldn't be surprised if 10, 20, 30 years from now we're pretty blown away by the advancements that we've made in injections and other kind of minimally invasive or non-surgical treatments as well.
You talk about minimally invasive, and I've heard recently of a number of different surgeries on replacements in particular, full joint replacements where they're not cutting muscles. How is that possible?
So depending on the joint, we're able to get to the joint without cutting directly through a muscle. So we can go between the muscles, or we can kind of go from the side underneath the muscle. And so a lot of times our older techniques, we would just go straight through the muscle, but that's a very traumatic and painful thing for the body to recover from. And so when we can move the muscles to the side and work our way in between them, it's a lot more kind of patient-friendly, if you will, within the recovery process. So that's come over many years of just developing new techniques and great advancements in our field.
Really, really terrific. Dr. Davenport, the next 10 years as a physiatrist, what does that look like? And, how is it different for you from where it was 10 years ago?
That's a great question. So I will echo what Dr. Carr said as well about a lot of the biologics. So when we talk about the field of physiatry, part of our tools in our toolbox are injection therapies, and that does include some of these biologics. So in the past, most of our tools in that toolbox were cortisone or steroid, which we certainly still have, but now we have a lot of additional options with that. So we have what some people call gel shots or visco supplementations for joint pain, and we also have biologics like platelet-rich plasma injections that I do as well here at HSS Florida. And I see those being much more specific. So even when I started, when PRP, the platelet-rich plasma, was new, we didn't really know how you tailor that per area of the body. But now we tailor it, whether it's a joint or whether it's a tendon, whether it's a big joint, whether it's a small joint, we even tailor that. And I see that happening more and more and more, where we're going to have much more patient-specific treatment options based on exactly the pathology as well as the overall patient and other issues that might be going on there.
I want to thank both of you. What a great and informative conversation it's been for me, and I hope for anybody that's had the chance to listen to this tonight. Dr. Kathleen Davenport and Dr. James Carr of the Hospital for Special Surgery in West Palm Beach. Doctors, before we go, beyond just saying thank you, will you please tell us how we can get in touch with you?
Thank you so much for having us. Our main line at HSS Florida is 561-657-4600. And they are a fantastic front desk to help you make an appointment if you'd like to speak with us. We also have our website for hss.edu, and that's two S's, like Hospital for Special Surgery. And on there you can find information about HSS New York as well as HSS Florida.
Terrific. Thank you so much. And Dr. Carr, I'm going to leave you by putting you on the spot. How are you feeling about your New York Mets in their 60-game season this year?
That's the million-dollar question. I'm actually feeling pretty good. You know, we have a great group of guys, and they've been working hard and staying in shape. And, you know, a 60-game season, anything can happen. You just have to get hot at the right time. And I think we have a really really good mix from last year carrying over. And I think we have a good chance of doing a great run. And I'm really excited to look forward to their great success, hopefully, this year. It's going to be a fun season.
Absolutely. Thanks to both of you. I'm Dan Ligani, and this is Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom. When we come back, we'll be talking to Dr. Megan Renee from the Florida Atlantic University School about the mental side of staying happy and healthy during the pandemic as older adults, whether it's you or your mom or dad, are spending prolonged periods of time at home. So we'll be right back with that. Long before most of us ever heard of COVID-19, Silver Solutions understood that growing older wouldn't always be easy, but it could be safer and more rewarding. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on creating physically safer homes for older adults, wherever home is. Whether you're senior-proofing your current home, downsizing to assisted living, or emptying a home after the loss of a loved one, Silver Solutions can help. To find out more about our services or to schedule a free virtual home assessment, call Silver Solutions today at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our specialists are deeply experienced, compassionate, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines, including the use of full personal protective equipment for your family's safety. You can't control everything in life, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on Silver Solutions.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with health care challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Well, welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. I'm Dan Ligani. I'm sitting in for Scott tonight, who is off celebrating the fabulous 50th wedding anniversary. Really good news. Part of what we have been talking about tonight is the notion of staying healthy and safe during the pandemic and beyond, as older adults are increasingly being asked to shelter in place. The first part of our show, we spoke to doctors from the Hospital for Special Surgery on preventative and post-injury actions that should and can be taken. Now we're moving on to an equally important part of the process, and that is your mental health. It's so critically important, as older adults generally have the risk of isolation, especially if they're living on their own. And during this time of coronavirus, when we're being asked to shelter in space, isolation is even a bigger issue. Our next guest tonight, Dr. Megan Renee, is here to help with that issue and more, including coping strategies, early warning signs that we can look for, and the best ways to safely stay engaged with our aging parents and loved ones. Let me tell you a little more about Dr. Renee. She is a licensed professional counselor, holds a PhD in counselor education and supervision, owns her own counseling and consulting firm, and is the co-founder of tobeoptimized.com. She's also currently the social-emotional learning coordinator at Florida Atlantic University School. Over the past decade, she has presented on topics of mental health at national conferences around the country and has publications on topics like social isolation and social media detox. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Renee.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me. It's so good to be here to talk about something that's so important.
Yeah, very definitely. This is a unique moment in history that we're living in. And I think that, as I said a second ago, it's not an unfamiliar idea that when older adults are on their own, that we need to be attentive to the issues of isolation. But Dr. Renee, talk about what has happened over the last 4 months and some of the additional issues that the pandemic may have made harder for older adults or their families.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, we know the geriatric population, or those 65 and older, are definitely have from the very beginning been at higher risk of the coronavirus. That also means that they're at a higher risk of needing to be socially isolated, potential quarantining, and things like that. And as many people know, isolation can definitely impact mental health negatively. Isolation can lead to depression. And understanding that our mental health greatly impacts our physical health is really, really important here. So our mental health can either positively impact our physical health or negatively. So I think for a lot of our older adults in our population, we've seen them not only go from being concerned on a general level about their health, but having an increased sense of anxiety about their own health and the health of their loved ones or their friends or their partners. And then add on top of that, they're being more isolated than they may have been in the past.
So with all of those things kind of coming together in this witch's brew, what's the best way to actually look for the early warning signs? What are some of those early warning signs we should be looking for? And what are the ways to preempt the issue up front?
That's a very important question, and I have some hopefully helpful answers for parents, children of parents, and family members, all those involved in the lives of their loved one, not just with our older population, but for everybody, some important questions to ask. But when checking in on your loved ones, something that's certainly important to ask them is asking them questions about their appetite. If you're not seeing them, you can't know the answer to these sort of questions. Asking them about their sleep patterns, asking them about their mood. A great tool to use to get a concrete answer from someone is to say on a scaling question, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being this is the happiest I've been in a long time, or the best day ever, and 1 being the worst day ever, asking them to give you a number so you get a little bit more clarity. Because sleep patterns and appetites are so greatly impacted by depression, that's a big warning sign at the very beginning that you can check on and say, okay, how's your eating? Have you changed that at all? And those sort of questions can lead into deeper conversations and give you a good idea of their overall well-being. if you notice they're not answering the phone and you can't even talk to them to get these questions answers, then that's definitely a big red flag.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say at that point, then, you know, we need to get into a conversation about what are some things you can do to reignite those, that socialization with that person and to help them with some coping strategies.
You know, you mentioned a little bit earlier, and it's a very common scenario here in South Florida about the adult children or family members not living locally. Mom and dad relocate to South Florida to take advantage of the great weather. And the children, as they get older and have moved on with their lives, are living in different parts of the country. So many people in New York, Washington, D.C., Boston. So when you try and think about the best ways to stay engaged, especially at this time where travel, you know, my family is back in the New York area, and not a lot of people were excited about the idea of me coming to visit them with all of the recent spikes in coronavirus cases in South Florida. So how do we do it? How can we use technology in interesting ways to stay engaged with mom and dad and to make certain that they're not suffering disproportionately from being alone?
Well, that's really important, right? How can we stay engaged with them and how can we stay connected when we are at a distance? Because that's, for a lot of people, the only way they can communicate with their loved ones right now. So one thing I would start with is scheduling virtual check-ins with that loved one. So get with the family members that are willing to either do a phone call if that person's not comfortable, if that loved one's not comfortable using a smartphone or FaceTime. Phone calls are just as effective in brightening somebody's day and getting in touch with the person. So I would say maybe throughout the week, say on Monday, this person's going to call, Wednesday, this person's going to call, Friday. And you may even want to do a daily schedule with grandchildren, different or friends of the family, checking in with this person. It doesn't have to be a long conversation. That's a start. And then if you want to give that person somebody to call, they want to call you, they want to talk to you, but maybe they're wanting a little bit of an extra person to have conversation with. There is something called the Institute for Aging Friendship Line. So it's a toll-free phone number that the elderly can call and actually talk to somebody who's warm and friendly and in a non-medical way. It's just a check-in. That number is 1-800-971-0016. And again, that's the Institute of Aging Friendship Helpline. So that gives them somebody to talk to as well.
Really, really good advice. I'm Dan Ligani, and this is Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom. This week, I'm sitting in for Scott Greenberg as he's out celebrating his 50th wedding anniversary. He'll be back next Monday, July 20th, with a fascinating conversation with Patrick Franklin, president of the Urban League of Palm Beach, covering some of the great work being done at the Urban League, including their current efforts to bridge the gap between at-risk youth and community police. If you're just joining us, it's been a fascinating evening so far, and even though you may have missed some of it, the good news is you can continue to stay connected to the entire show because we podcast, and you'll actually be able to get the podcast as soon as tomorrow. Just type in OMG I'm Getting on whatever site you get your podcast from, and it'll pop up. Or you can go to Scott Greenberg's website, which is palmbeach.comforcare.com, or even my website at silversolutions.com. Just go to the news tab and we'll be able to download it. So thanks again for listening to us tonight. We've got a great conversation that's underway right now with Dr. Megan Renee from the Florida Atlantic University School. And Dr. Renee, you've taken us through so far some great tips and techniques on using scales from 1 to 10 and scheduling virtual check-ins. What else, in your view, is unique about this moment in time with COVID? Is it that there is an unknown in terms of duration, or that there are other factors? What comes to the forefront for you that we think we have to deal with differently with the coronavirus?
Well, I definitely think a sense of autonomy has been robbed of many people. And that's super important for our aging citizens. They have already had, in many ways, their sense of autonomy taken from them. As we age, we need a little bit more support and direction from those who love us. But right now, so many of us feel as though we can't do the things that we once were able to do, and we don't get to make important decisions about how things are turning out. And there is this sense of I don't know what's going to happen. And we're hearing a lot of different information on the news, and then also information through social media. And that's one thing to look out for, too. Right now, there's so much out there that's simply not true. And that's really important to monitor, to make sure that you're not reading false information and you're using reputable websites. But, yeah, what's really unique about the situation is there's so much grief and loss of independence for many people.
You know, one of the other things that strikes me, and I was thinking about this the other day in preparation for coming in and speaking with you tonight, and that was other traumatic events that we've lived through, like 9/11, communities got together. You know, the night of, people would get together in churches or in synagogues or in other houses of worship, or you'd get together in large group settings. And with the coronavirus, we're not able to do that. So does that increase the sense of isolation that older adults in particular are dealing with?
Absolutely. We can't ignore the fact that places like church or community centers where people once would get together in a time of crisis would provide a lot of strength. Spirituality is very important in whatever sense that may be for a person, even if it's being outdoors and being in nature or going on a walk with someone. And unfortunately, those are some things that people can't do during this time, and it's really unique, and it's unlike any other time in history where we had some traumatic event happen. The good news is there's a lot of creative things that are happening right now that people are able to connect. Thank goodness we have the technology that we do. So we can do Skype. We can do FaceTime with individuals. Another thing that I want to throw out there is things like Silver Kite, silverkite.us. It's based in Washington, and it actually provides interactive art workshops for the elderly. And they have things like spark boxes where you can purchase one, they're on sale for like $17.50 versus $27.50, that you can send to older adults. They're specifically made for the elderly and to help with memory and things like that. So we do see a lot of people coming up with really creative ways that pull people together in ways we've never had to do before because of the limitations that have been placed upon us during this time.
I love that. And our show tonight has been just a great range of information around senior health and safety at home, both physical safety as well as staying mentally happy and positive. You've given us a lot of great things, Dr. Megan Renee, but I'm going to give you a hard task here at the end. Can you summarize, out of all the great things that you gave us, what are the top three things for anyone who doesn't live near their parents or anybody that's living on their own to be aware of and to be paying particular attention to so they stay as positive and as healthy as they possibly can?
I think it's not too difficult because it really boils down to doing some simple tasks. First, make sure you're scheduling virtual check-ins with that loved one. And that can be on Zoom. That can be as simple as a phone call. But get those who are in your network together to write that schedule out and to send reminders to each other to call and check on that person. Second, when you're checking on that person, everyone needs to remember to ask certain questions, especially questions about how's your mood been. People need to communicate with each other. Did this person answer their phone call today? Did I not hear from them? Is that out of the ordinary? Asking them questions about their sleep pattern and if they've remembered talking to the person who maybe called yesterday and what they talked about. So make sure that person is still engaged. That's number two. Engagement's very important. And then three, I would say make sure that you're helping that loved one to get involved with some creative things they may not know about, like silverkite.us. Giving them ideas like a book club. There's a lot of things you can just Google. What are some activities for seniors during COVID? If the person has trouble reading because of their sight, there's audiobooks. There's virtual books. You could even watch a movie and then have a book discussion about the movie that was based on the book. So really encouraging that individual to be as connected to others in unique and new ways as possible.
Really terrific, terrific advice. Thank you, Dr. Renee. Before we close, how can we get in touch with you directly, Dr. Megan Renee?
Well, you can visit my website, which is tobeoptimized.com, and you can find information about me there and my contact information. My email is just pretty simple. It's Dr. Megan Renee, and my name's a little bit unique. It's M-A-E-G-A-N and R-E-N-E-E. and it's just drmeganrenee@gmail.com. And that's another thing I want to put out there. Don't be afraid during this time to use counselors for yourself as a caretaker or for your person that you're taking care of, because everybody can use someone to talk to that is objective and maybe not so wrapped up emotionally in the situation. So I hope that, if anything, people realize in this this radio podcast that right now everybody needs a little bit of help. So I'm loving that you guys are doing this and putting this valuable information out there.
Well, definitely good words to end on. Thank you, Dr. Megan Renee. And to our guests earlier, Dr. Kathleen Davenport and James Carr from the Hospital for Special Surgery. A great show. And thank you, Scott Greenberg, for letting me, Dan Lagani from Silver Solutions, fill your very big shoes tonight. Remember to join Scott next Monday, July 20th, for his return to Oh My God and his conversation with Patrick Franklin from the Urban League. And thank you to tuning in to True Oldies 95.9 in the Palm Beaches and 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. Stay safe and have a great week.